This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord, Jesus Christ. According to John, glory to you, Lord Christ. John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. When the scripture says the Word became flesh, it's important that we take that at face value. I think sometimes there's a thinking in the word theology just comes from two words. It comes from the word Word and God. It's just a word about God. And what you believe about God is the most important thing about you. And so what God believes about us is the second most important thing about Him. People think that when Jesus says that the Word became flesh, when God took on flesh, that He took on this pristine, sinless flesh. But that's not true. There would have been no redemptive value to that. It says here in verse 3 of chapter 8, "For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh." Jesus didn't sin. Jesus lived in sinful flesh sinlessly. But He was tempted in every way like unto us. And temptation is tempting. That's why they call it temptation. But Jesus wore collective humanity. Just as He died as all of us, we all were taken into His person, and the old person that we once were was crucified. Jesus lived collectively as us, as humanity. That's why I like that picture in the stable, that He was wrapped in rags. He wasn't wrapped in gold threads. He was wrapped in rags. He was clothed Himself with the rags of our fallen humanity. He took the deep dive into the darkest places of your mind, my mind, the struggles of broken and fallen humanity. It says that He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. What sin? The sin of collective humanity. That's amazing and horrendous. But that's what He did. He dove into the darkness. He dove into the place that struggles being at enmity with God, our human flesh that has this law of sin in its members. Jesus knew what it was to be tempted with the feelings of insecurity, but He never gave in to them. To hate, to envy, all of it. He took on the likeness of human flesh and all of its darkness. And that's why this scripture means so much to me in John 16, 33. "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation." And that word can be test or temptation. It's the same word. Tribulation, testing, temptation. They can put the word warfare on there. That would work. "In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." So if Jesus overcame the world, but He had sinless flesh, sort of this pristine version, not like mine and yours, you know, where there were never any bad thoughts, never anything. And then he says, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I'm going, well, whoop-de-doo. Because he said, if you'd overcome the world, you had nothing to deal with. You weren't even tempted. Well, the truth is, because that was collective humanity, he's already done it as you. As proof that he can do it again through you. Now, 2 Corinthians says that in my weaknesses, his strength is made perfect. The proof that I can trust him now, so God goes, you have to understand, God goes so out of the way to bring us to the place where we can trust him. We live by faith. And he does everything for us to live by faith except for that last little choice. He makes it as easy as possible. I mean, haven't you had someone in your life, maybe as a child, and they were going to go, you were taking them someplace and they were scared, and you did everything you could to convince them, you don't need to be scared, you can trust me, it's going to be okay? Because that's what love does. So Jesus came, clothed himself in fallen humanity, took the deep dive into the dark places that we all live in at times, that are there, that bounce around, that tempt, that throw itself against the screen of our minds and our emotions. And he lived victoriously. He overcame all that as a testimony to us that even though we're new creations, we still live in this fallen body. And one day we'll get a new body and it won't have all the junk. The law of sin won't be there. But right now, he lives in us. And yet he talks about us being holy, loving our neighbors, ourselves, you know, having peace and patience and kindness. And yet you want to go, Lord, you don't know what's going on inside here. How can you say stuff like that? And he can say, because I've done it before. It's not up to you. It's up to you to let it be up to me. I've overcome the world, and I overcame the world doing the tour through fallen humanity. So cheer up. I'm not threatened by all that stuff that goes around inside of you. I'm not threatened by all that weakness and darkness. I dove into it intentionally. I wasn't talked into it. God the Father didn't put a gun to my head. I chose to redeem the world. So everything that you face, Jesus has already faced in humanity and was victorious. This union with God and man, which transforms us, is found in Christ. And because I'm in Christ now, this version of an individual's humanity, he's wrapped himself up in. With all the weakness, all the potential for yuck, and says, cheer up, Chuck. I've already walked out on this earth, fallen humanity, all the fallen humanity, and so your particular brand and version of it is not a threat to me. Because in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. That's the incarnation. That's the miracle of it all. But I want you to hear this. It's really important. When you blow it, and you kick yourself over and over again in your mind, trying to convince God how unworthy you are, how little you have to offer, how much you've screwed it up, how it's too late for you to ever get it right, how you can never get this thing right, that you can never overcome this, that you're a bigger mess and you're just really sorry, this is just the way you are, it just is what it is. That's like a curse word. I hate it when I hear people that, well, it just is what it is. I want to go, does Jesus say that to you? It is what he says it is. You ever had those thoughts? And Jesus will let us do that until we wind down, and then he'll go, okay. Now, being the suit of clothes to which I wear now on this earth, in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. None of that's a threat to me. None of that disqualifies you. Just from this month forward, let me overcome. Because I can tell you, when he clothed himself with all human flesh, there were some versions of the flesh that were worse than you. And he overcame. overcame the world through that. If he could wear collective humanity in all the darkness of all humanity and could overcome that in this world, you're a cinch to him. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. That's somewhere in the Bible. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.